Hello and welcome. This is Mark Little, and this is the monthly Advisor Pact session. This is for the Advisor Pact program. The Advisor Pact pledge is a pledge that you make to every single ideal client, offering them something that really are the four client expectations that, according to successful affluent clients, these are the four things that clients say they have a hard time finding anywhere at any price from any advisor. And so we have developed this program to allow you to deliver not only services that are highly desirable by affluent successful people, but also focused on exceeding client expectations. And we use referrals as the measure of your ability to deliver this system. So the goal of the system is to deliver something that we call truly comprehensive financial services. But not to just deliver it at any level, you know, not to just have a checklist of a series of things that you do and once you've checked them off, they're done. No, to deliver them in such a manner that it actually exceeds your client's expectations at the same time. That's what drives referrals. And what's the outcome of this program? Well, it's if you embrace the goal that we recommend, it's to keep implementing until you have a minimum of 5 initial client interviews per week resulting from spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. So that is the goal. It's to impress clients to the point where they believe that the services they're receiving from you are so remarkable that they just can't help themselves. They give into the human desire to go out and share good experiences with other people in their lives, and that's what they do. So this session each month is designed so that as you implement the projects that we send you, and each and every month we send you a project to complete, that this is a Q&A session so that as you're implementing, you can ask your questions. You can tell us where you're struggling. You can tell us what issues are presenting themselves there to you. There's no reason for you to ever get stuck or need direction, because this is the point each and every month where we get together and respond to your questions. So I have selected some questions for us to deal with today. We've received a lot of questions. We dealt with most of them one-on-one with our members, but I did select from the questions that we received two questions that I thought it would be worth our while to go over. And as always, you have access to this Q&A session for 30 days. Now, if as we're going through the content today, you've got questions that come into your mind that just pop into your mind, feel free. Look on your webinar panel. There is a way to raise your hand or just enter your question. And when I get to a breaking point, I will respond to your question. So let's get right to it. Start with the first question. Mark, could you please walk me through the first exercises in this program? I'd like to get the big picture for what I'll be working on. Yes, we get this question from time to time, and I'm happy to do that. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to present the projects and the order and the sequence that we send them, but I'm going to present them in a way that it's the way that I designed this program years ago. So I've been in this business 30 years. I only teach methods that have worked both for me and for all the advisors that we've been working with. So I've been and am still a financial advisor to retail clients, but I've been working with advisors like you since 2002. And so we've had quite an opportunity to test very rigidly the methods that we've utilized to make sure that they are replicatable by other advisors. So what you're seeing in this program, in the Advisor Pack monthly program, are only the systems and processes that worked not only for me, but for every other advisor that we've worked with. So I'm going to kind of present the sequence of these projects that we send to you. And I'm going to line them up with the struggles that I personally was experiencing that led to these modules being developed. So, you know, I've spent millions of dollars with my team creating all these modules. And we, of course, have our flagship program that was developed prior to this program called the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. And that program is kind of a do-it-with-you program where our team works with your team to implement these same things. But this program is more for do-it-yourselfers, people who, you know, would prefer to, they know they could just buy the wheel and not reinvent it. But in this case of this program, advisors like you would prefer to build it yourself. You'd rather take the principles and just go do it yourself. And so I'm going to walk you through, because of the do-it-yourself nature of this program, I'm going to kind of walk through my personal challenges and what drove not only the development of these modules in this sequence, and the modules go on and on for years. So you will keep going if you set the goal to keep, you know, improving the client experience and improving the comprehensive financial services that you and your team provide. Listen, mastery of this takes a number of years, but you can see results within very short number of months. Sometimes within the very first month. So let me just kind of walk you through the sequence and why it's in this order. For me personally, what I needed at the outset, before I got going with developing all of this, was I needed to clarify in my own mind, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish with my business. I needed a way to not only establish objectives and to align my goals with what I was actually trying to get from my business, but I also needed to be able to articulate my vision and my goals to those around me that are working with me in the effort. So if you have a small team, maybe you have an assistant, or maybe you have a larger team. Regardless, it all always starts with your ability to articulate your vision to those around you that are helping you with the effort, and to be able to effectively describe what you're doing so that you can recruit others to help you do it. So that is the very first module in our program, and it is the vision and goals module for financial advisors. Now, this is specific. I created it myself. This is the best goal setting program for financial advisors, I believe, in our industry, or at least that's what I've been told by the many advisors that have gone through this vision and goals program. Now, it's designed to be updated each and every year. So here we are in October. I highly recommend that you, even if you've gone through the vision and goals module before, that this is the time of year that you go in and set your goals for next year. So this would be a perfect opportunity right now over the next month for you to establish your vision and goals for 2018 so that you can make 2018 your best year ever. So that was the first module. So after I had the vision and the goal in my head, what I'm trying to accomplish with your business, what I needed next was I needed to be able to, well, the question in my mind was, how can I easily track clients and potential clients who need attention from me? So I've got this big list of clients. I've got different types of clients. I've got profitable clients. I've got clients that maybe are not as profitable, and everything in between, at least at the beginning. That part of our program is to refine and narrow that so that you're focusing on your ideal clients only. But I'm just telling you what I needed at the time in sequence. I needed a way to get all my clients and potential clients, no matter what kind of client they were and whatever potential clients, and I needed that entire list on one sheet so that I could figure out, of all the people in my business, which is that those were the people in my business, the clients and potential clients, who actually needs my attention? Who do I need to focus on so that I can grow my business. I don't want anything to fall through the cracks. So I needed a method so that not just me, but both me and my administrative assistant were aware at all times of every action item that was needed in order to help me make sure that nothing and nobody falls through the cracks in terms of what it takes to grow my business. So that is the module called the annual recurring revenue exercise. It's the second in the sequence because you need a way to track, or I needed a way to track, and you, all of us need a way to track, you know, of all the things and distractions in the business, you know, who is it that I need to focus on today? I need a plan of attack for today. I need to know the clients that need something done, as well as the potential clients. I need to keep the process moving forward if I'm going to make sure that my business is growing. Okay, so next is I needed, with so many distractions in the business, like they're just clients calling, all kinds of other distractions in the business. And, you know, maybe part of this is as your business grows, it becomes even more distractions because people are distractions. They may be certainly worth the investment. And as you build your team, these people leverage your time. So maybe distractions is not the best word for them. But let's just say beyond the people, just things that happen in your business, things that happen that need to be dealt with, like just the running of the business, the monthly bookkeeping, the paying of the bills, the fact that, the lease is renewing or whatever. I mean, it's just there's always as a business owner, there's constant stream of things that represent distractions that prevent you from growing your business. So with all these distractions, I thought it would help if I had a metric to track and make sure that whatever time I invest trying to acquire clients every day, every week, every month, that I'm actually measuring the highest payoff activity. So this module, the next module in the sequence called the potential client interaction time, it is designed to help you focus that with all the things on your plate and all the other things that you're doing to serve clients and so forth, this is designed to put a single metric in front of you so that you can make sure that even if all you have in one given day with all the distractions is, let's say, 10 minutes to devote to client acquisition, then this module is going to sensitize you to the single activity that is the highest payoff activity. So that if even you just do a little bit in a given day having to do with client acquisition, it is the most important little thing that you do that day. So that's the next module. Okay, so then we start thinking about leveraging time. We've dealt with a lot of the distractions. We now are focused on what we need to do to move the business forward in terms of client acquisition, what the single most important metric. But to really leverage your time, at some point it's going to require that you bring somebody on board, if only to handle the administrative stuff. So you may already have an administrative assistant or an administrative support person of some type. And so it occurred to me that even if they were part-time, I needed someone to help me so that I could go do the other things that are more important in terms of serving my clients and growing my business. And Bill Bachrach has a great quote for this. He says, if you don't have an assistant, you are one. Because, you know, the handling of all the administrative duties in a business like ours is very distracting. That is probably one of the most distracting things in our business. So there was a lot of material out there on how to hire an administrative assistant or a sales assistant or whatever you want to call them, but what did not exist and what I really needed, and it didn't exist, so I created it, and you've got it right here, is just this idea. If I just hired one support person, even if it's a part-time person, to help me build a team and exceed my clients' expectations, what exactly should that one person be doing? What's their role? What are they doing day to day? What are they in charge of? what's the division of labor between that person and me? And also, how do I find them? And by the way, if I do have a current person, how can I assess whether they're able and willing to step up and do this that I really need? So these are the next two modules in this series, and it is the role of the administrative manager. We have given this role a title. It's administrative manager, so it's your lead administrative support person. It could be a part-time person at first, but literally breaks it down. What are they doing? What are the most important things that they need to be doing so that you are free to go do your priorities? And the priorities of a trusted advisor are serving clients and going out and getting new ones. So, you know, it really walks through the role of an administrative manager to orchestrate and make sure everything else gets done so that you can focus on the two priorities that are the most important to you. So it's laying out the role, and then the next module is about how to hire them. Now, if you have someone already working for you, this hiring an extraordinary administrative manager is really critical for you, because the way we recommend that you go through that module, if you have an existing person in place already, is to use it as an assessment to just, in essence, say, you know, after you've gone through the module of the role, like what it should be doing, what the individual should be doing in that role, what that role should be doing, then you sit down with the hiring an extraordinary administrative manager and you say, look, I've got a new position. It's called administrative manager. And this person that's been working for you up till now, they've had that role that they've been doing up till now. The question on the table is, are they interested in and do they want to apply for the new position of administrative manager? And assuming that they do, then this hiring an extraordinary administrative manager becomes an assessment tool, a step-by-step assessment tool to walk your existing administrative manager through the position to make sure that they are both able and willing to do everything that's required in this role of an administrative manager. So that is the next in sequence. Then, okay. I started focusing on the gaps of affluent, successful people and their financial lives. So the fact of the matter is, and this is a key, that this research is key to this program, because it's just such a gaping hole, and it's so obvious when we just accept this and embrace it and start to realize that this is where you start digging in with clients. And that is that most affluent, successful people, frankly, don't have an overarching financial strategy. They don't have a plan. And so the question is, so my question was, my personal experience was, a challenge, was how can I fill that gap? And also, I noticed that most clients have nobody on their team providing oversight to know whether the recommendations that they're receiving from the existing financial people in their life, because most of these affluent, successful people have financial people in their life before I came along. They had an accountant, they had, you know, insurance people, they had their money parked somewhere, even if it was at the bank and they were working with their banker, but usually they had some kind of a financial advisor involved. Anyway, so there are all these financial people in their life. So the question is, who's looking at all the recommendations from those people, given the fact there's no overarching plan? Who's looking at those recommendations to see whether or not they are suitable for the overall situation, since that has never been really established as far as an overarching plan, or even to know whether the client's on track or off track to their goals? So it just occurred to me there are all these gaps. And then in looking around just out there in the field, it occurred to me there are lots of skilled financial people around. And so I needed a way to pull together a stable team of skilled experts so that everything that should be done for my clients is actually done, and nothing falls through the cracks for any of my clients, so that all of them do have an overarching plan. And my team would make sure that of all these recommendations the client's receiving from their accountant and their estate planning lawyer and so forth, that I have a team to provide oversight and peer review to make sure that those recommendations are suitable and in perfect alignment with the overarching plan. So I needed a way to, given the fact that there are lots of skilled financial people around, tax accountants, lawyers, and so forth, insurance professionals, I needed a way to build a team of these skilled subject matter experts quickly so that I could focus my time on finding new ideal clients, and they could deliver the comprehensive financial services to my clients. Since I didn't have a budget for hiring a team, the question in my mind, in addition to how can I quickly build a team of experts, but how can I build the team now and pay for it later? So that's this module called the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. It's a 12-step process. It is designed to acquire a subject matter expert in 60 days or less. And given the fact that most advisors already know a few professionals that are skilled, that can be a shortcut to the process. So let's just say that most of the positions will be filled in less than 30 to 60 days, definitely less than 60 days. So what positions are we talking about? We're talking about getting 5 subject matter experts onto your team, and that's your permanent team. It's a financial planner, a money management subject matter expert, a tax subject matter expert, an estate planning subject matter expert, and an insurance subject matter expert. So it's getting those 5 subject matter experts in place with no vacancies so that there is a clear value to the client. You've got all these experts, you know, who know far more in their narrow field of expertise than any single individual could across all of these fields. And it's a perfect division of labor. They are delivering the services with you at the helm as the client's most trusted advisor. And from the client's perspective, you're obviously the team leader pulling it all together. But it frees you up to go out and freed me up to go out and do what is really the most time-consuming thing, and that's to go out and find new ideal clients. So that's the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. It solved a lot of problems. It is probably the most important process in that filling these vacancies with skilled people is the most foundational thing you can do to deliver value to clients and therefore exceed their expectations. So it's critical. Now, let's move on to the next set. So those are the first 6. Now let's keep going. So now I have a team. What's next? What was my next personal challenge? Well, once I had a team in place, I needed a way then of making sure that my individual team members are skilled and that they're actually adding value to my clients. I needed to make sure that if I'm going to have a small team, that everybody's pulling their weight, everybody's focused on the goal, and everybody's actually contributing to the goal. So I needed a way to evaluate team members. Now, the team goal is, in our program, is to exceed client expectations. So I needed a way to ensure that each team member who either already had proven skills for exceeding client expectations, or let me say this clearer. Whenever I was sitting down with a new team member, yes, I was very impressed with them, or I would not have invited them onto the team. But the one thing I did not know is whether they could actually exceed a client's expectations. So what I'm trying to say is I needed a process to determine that each member either one of two things. They either already know and they already have proven skills for exceeding the expectations of a client who meets my ideal client profile, which means they've already got a lot of clients who meet my ideal client profile, and they've demonstrated and kind of walked me through it. They've explained to me how they exceed someone who meets my ideal client's profile, how they exceed their expectations and continue to do so. Okay, so that's the type of person that already has these skills. But what if I have somebody on my team that is highly talented? They're just really good at what they do. let's call them technically proficient. Obviously, we're going to assume that everybody on your team is technically proficient. You know, the tax accountant knows taxes. The estate planning attorney knows estate planning. The financial planner knows financial planning and so forth. Let's just state it as a given. Everyone on your team is a pro and is technically proficient. But what if it turns out they just have never had the experience? There's no proof or evidence that they know how to actually exceed a client's expectations, which is a whole different skill set. Well, this is something that you determine after they come on board. You have to see whether they are actually exceeding your client's expectations or not. So either they already are skilled at this, or they're not, and they're willing to admit that this is a skill gap, and they're willing to invest whatever time is necessary to learn that skill and to fill that skill gap. In other words, you need everyone on your team focused on either knowing how or learning how to exceed ideal client's expectations. So that's what evaluating your deliverables team is all about. It creates objective measures. So my challenge was I needed not just subjective measures where I'm just telling my team, oh, I need you to exceed my client's expectations, which sounds like such an intangible, immeasurable thing. No, I needed an objective way, and I needed various objective ways to measure whether we are exceeding ideal client's expectations or not. And I also needed objective ways when it came to individual team members, subject matter experts. I needed objective ways to measure their improvement as they begin, you know, learning how and improving in order to exceed my client's expectations. Well, that's what this module is all about. It's all about understanding and creating and setting up an environment for your team so that you make sure that the people on your team are both skilled and they're making progress in terms of exceeding client expectations. So once you have a team, the next thing you need, once you have a team and a way to measure, to evaluate them, then, you know, very quickly, once you have a team, you need a clear process for your team to be able to develop the specific client deliverables that are necessary so that we can be certain that every client's financial affairs are comprehensively being taken care of in a very proactive way. So that's the 10 client deliverables. It's taught across two modules. The first deliverables, across these two modules, you get all 10 of the client deliverables. And for me, my personal challenge when this was all being developed, back at the turn of the century, of this century, I wanted to be sure that all areas of my ideal client's financial lives were very organized and in perfect order. So my friend Bill Bachrach calls this, you know, getting a client's financial house in perfect order and keeping it that way forever. So that's the goal of the deliverables. That's the outcome. What I needed was an annual checklist, something actually usable. I needed an annual checklist for each client in order to be sure that our team is actually delivering on this thing that we call truly comprehensive financial services, which that's the concept that I would share with clients. So the 10 client deliverables is a framework around which your team, now that you have one, will develop specific client deliverables as well as an annual checklist to make sure that you're actually delivering truly comprehensive financial services for each and every client. Okay, so now we've got all that in place. Now we start slowly shifting to the client experience. So you've got the structural part down. You've got all areas of a client's financial life covered, at least technically. You've got the team in place. You've got everybody looking at a narrow field of finance. You've got the 10 client deliverables. You've got all your client deliverables that you're going to be providing in order to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. The question is, how do you, in essence, create an extraordinary experience. So the next module, which is called the first 104 days of a new client relationship, this module is designed so that you exceed your ideal client's expectation by creating an experience immediately after you start working with every new client. I noticed a kind of an interesting dynamic as I began adding dozens of ideal clients. I noticed that there was kind of this tension between the client and my team. Now, the clients were unaware of this, but I noticed it very clearly. And what it was that when I noticed that when new clients come on board, they are very excited and they want to get moving and working with us right away. They want things to start happening right away. But now that I have a team in place, I noticed on the team side that my team wanted to take it a little bit slower and to be thorough and to put together an overarching plan. In other words, to work together to create an overarching plan. So what I realized that I needed, now that I have a team and now that I have the 10 client deliverables and all of that, I needed something right out of the gate for when a client first becomes a client to create the right experience for them so that the client has this feeling that, hey, we're getting moving right away and I'm starting to see progress right away, and they are actually seeing progress right away. But I needed a timeline that perfectly balanced the client's desire to get moving now that they're paying me and the team's need for time to work together to create a coordinated lifetime strategy. So that's what this is all about. This first 104 days of a new client relationship. Some people call this the non-recurring meetings. In the three meeting process, this is the period of time. It represents a series of meetings over the first 104 days of the client relationship. I guess the best way to say it is it's the fewest number of meetings needed in order to get the job done, and it balances the desires of the client to get moving against the team's legitimate need to be careful and work together, the time that it requires to actually put together a sensible plan together as a team. So that's what the first 104 days is all about. It basically means that your client, it's a little over 90 days, so think of it as a quarter of a year. It's in essence the first quarter of the client's relationship, and that's where you and your team develop the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for every new client. But at the same time, you're doing triage and you're getting things done along the way. You're getting things done as you go. So that's the first 104 days of a new client relationship. That's why it's there, because that's the next challenge in your set of challenges in building a business that exceeds clients' expectations. Then comes the next issue. So now you have a team, now you have deliverables, now you're beginning to create an extraordinary experience right at the beginning of the relationship. What I encountered was that as we began delivering truly comprehensive financial services, even at the beginning, like even at this stage where you're just getting started and you're just putting in place the deliverables and the team and all of that, the thing that I noticed was that as we started delivering more comprehensive service and adding more value to clients and exceeding their expectations, I realized that I was underpricing our services and that some clients were clearly willing and able to pay substantially more than they were paying me. So what I needed was some better philosophies for setting my compensation. And that's what this module is all about. It's about structuring your compensation so that you actually get paid what you're worth. I mean, where we're heading with all of this and where all advisors that implement this system end up going through all of this is you're going to be running a business that's the only game in town. That if a client wants what you're delivering, truly comprehensive financial services in a way that exceeds their expectations, it's not like there's a lot of advisors or a lot of choices in town to get that. Once you start implementing this and getting traction and actually putting all this into place, very quickly, like certainly within the first year, you start to hear clients and potential clients describing you as the only game in town. There are no other firms around that are able and willing to make an advisor pact like this with you, to like, who's the person in the financials life who's willing to look out and protect their financial strategy and pay attention to their situation so that, you know, that they always know that they're on track and that they're willing to jump in proactively and make recommendations required to remain on track. And as far as coordinating all the people and financial aspects of the client's life, nobody was willing to do that before you. And then as far as transparency, making sure that the client understands exactly what everybody's making in terms of what they're earning and what they're paying. So there's nothing hidden. There are no longer any hidden fees because you're in their life. This idea of delivering the four client expectations, the whole premise of the Advisor Pact program, which is making sure that clients who claim they can't find these four things are getting all four of these things, well, you need to really rethink your compensation and make sure that that you're getting paid enough. As you know, you're certainly getting paid enough to cover the cost. But what I'm talking about is, what if you redesigned the question to be, what would clients be willing to pay for something that they can't find anywhere else? So that's what this module deals with. And then I could keep going with the modules, but I thought, you know, the first 12 modules, let's just stop here. The next personal challenge that I had was once our team stabilized, so now our team began consistently delivering the 10 client deliverables and delivering a client first 104 days, where the client now has a very clear, coherent, overarching plan, that basically all of that was in place. I now needed a way to make the process enjoyable for our clients. What I noticed was, for some clients, and maybe it's not one client, I think the reality is most of the time we're dealing with two clients, two spouses, and maybe it's just one of the two spouses that just finds all this money stuff just unbearable. So I needed a way to make this process enjoyable for them, because I got to thinking about it. What we're actually talking about here is our clients, the achievement of our clients' most important goals. Each of the spouses, both, you know, it's a team effort. Both partners in the marriage have things they want to accomplish, okay? And so since we're talking about these, let's call them goals, things that both of them want to accomplish, along with, you know, accomplishing these things that matter most, it's really in order to experience the other things in life that really matter to them. So to me, I thought, since we're dealing with, in these meetings, moving closer towards the things that really matter most in life to these two people, the process needs to be fun. So I needed a way for clients to be able to look forward to the meetings. And I'm not just saying one of the clients who enjoys the money stuff. I'm talking, I needed a way for both clients to look for, I wanted both clients to look forward to these meetings. Clients should never want to miss any of our meetings because the meetings are so uplifting and that they're so meaningful. And so that's where this module, the Hero's Journey, starts to flip it around on you and have you start to view the client as the hero of their own journey. And, you know, if the client is Luke Skywalker trying to navigate, you know, an adventure to accomplish all their goals, then who are you? Well, you're Obi-Wan Kenobi. So it's, you're the guide. And this module is all about how we successfully turned what can be a very procedural, boring process, which some clients find agonizing, into a process that's actually fun and a process that both of the clients look forward to come to participating in. And so that is basically, those are the first 12 modules. So you asked for me to go through, you know, the series. Well, there's the first 12. And so yes, they're monthly projects. Each of these that we've gone through are monthly projects that you'll be receiving in sequence. If the question is, can you move faster than one a month? Absolutely. We do have something called the Fast Track. It's designed for people that are trying to see if they qualify for the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. But even if you're not intending to ever join the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, the software, which is our flagship program, you know, it's $1,000 a month. You may or may not ever decide you ever want to do that. But we do have members of the Advisor Pack Monthly who are kind of curious whether they qualify, whether they would get an invitation to join the Trusted Advisor Toolkit if they wanted to join it. And so, therefore, anybody can join the Fast Track, and all you have to do is click Contact Us on the Advisor Pact site and just let us know, I'd like to join the Fast Track. And you'll get a application form that you have to fill out. But the way that works after that is in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, all these 12 modules that we just covered are accomplished, all 12, in the first 90 days. So the toolkit is for accelerated advisors who are serious about this system, and they're moving fast. They are taking it seriously, and they're moving fast. And so the Fast Track in this program is all just about seeing how fast you can go. So why don't you try that if you can accomplish more than one project a month. Most advisors struggle with finishing one a month. But if you want to go faster, contact us, tell us you want to join the Fast Track. And the way that works is after you finish, let's say halfway through the month, you finish the project, you're done. Then you contact us and let us know you're done if you're in the Fast Track. And what we'll do is we have a little process to verify and confirm that you've thoroughly completed the current project. And if you have, once that's confirmed, we just give you the next one. And if you can accomplish three or four modules in a single month, then knock yourself out. That's what the Fast Track's all about. Let's see how fast you can get the first 12 done. Even if you can't get them done in 90 days, maybe 4 months, maybe, you know, if you can get the first 12 modules done in 6 months, that's accomplishing quite a bit. So anyway, those are the first 12 modules. If you don't do anything, you'll get them over a 12-month period. If you want to join the Fast Track, if you want to complete them more quickly, well, then do that. Contact us. Let us know you want to join the Fast Track. Okay, the final question for today. I have an advisor asking, I've completed the deliverables team recruitment process module, and we've just acquired our first subject matter expert. I heard you say once that there are 17 action items for new subject matter experts that need to be completed within the first 30 days. Is that right? And what are the 17 things that I need to get done after our subject matter expert is on the team? Well, I'm going to switch over to the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. Part of the Advisor Pack Monthly program is just whenever you ask, whenever it's appropriate, I give you a peek into our flagship program, and I'm happy to share resources with you from over there. Now, this is what you're talking about, and I don't know when you heard me say this, but it is true. There are 17 things that we call it the onboarding checklist for a new subject matter expert. And basically, the way it works is that you do all these things in the first 30 days, but the checklist still remains. There are things that you do every 4 months with every subject matter expert, and that's on here. So you keep this sheet, and you just keep updating the dates. There are things that you do periodically. And so this is, yes, it's the 17 things that you do in the first 30 days. But in addition to that, it's also a checklist that you keep going with each subject matter expert in order to to keep the subject matter expert moving forward every single year that they're on your team. Okay, so what I'm going to do is it's actually a downloadable, and I'm going to open up the PDF. Here it is. And I'm going to just go through this with you, and it's a fillable, it's what we call a fillable PDF form, so you can type right in here into the form. I'm going to put this form on the replay page of this session. So just, you know, as you're viewing the replay of this session, look down on the page, and this form will be there for you. But here's the form overall. I'm going to zoom in so we can fill it out. Let me just kind of run through the 17 things so you can kind of understand the first 30 days of a given subject matter expert. By the way, everything on this checklist is represented in modules in other parts of the system. So I'm just covering ground that's covered in more detail elsewhere. But for the purpose of just running through the checklist, let me do that right now. So the first field on the PDF fillable PDF form is the subject matter expert's name. Let's say their name's Christian Wolf, CPA, and let's say this is your tax tax subject matter expert. And let's say, when was this checklist started? Well, let's say it was started October 2nd, 2017. Now, one thing about this sheet that I want to point out is you can put the format of the date however you want. If you'd rather say to October 2017, feel free. If you'd rather say October 2nd, 2017, you can do that. So anywhere you see a date anywhere on this form, you can use whatever date format you want. So let's I'm clicking the tab button, and I'm gonna go down a little bit here. Let me just hit the tab button a few times, and you can see that if you just tab through this form, it will go through in the it'll go through the fields in the order that you're presented to you here. But let me just kind of go through this form the way that it's actually unfolds typically. Step number 12 of the 12-step deliverables team recruitment process when you are recruiting a subject matter expert has to do with acquiring their subject matter expert commitment form, their agreement, the subject matter expert agreement form. And so all this is happening in the 30 days after they've been invited onto the team, but, you know, around the time that they're submitting that SME agreement form. So what tends to happen first is in step 10 of 12, the trusted advisor has something called a deal structure meeting where they sit down with the subject matter expert and they invite them onto the team. And it's usually in that meeting that the advisor makes them aware of the team goal. Like, the team goal is to exceed client expectations, and we measure that with the annual referral rate. So let's say that occurred on October 2nd, 2017. Oops, that's the date. Hang on. By the trusted advisor. So the format of this is the item is the SME is aware of and understands the team goal. This is conducted or done by the trusted advisor. So let's say the trusted advisor is Perry M. And so that was done on October 2nd, 2017. So we mark that as done. All right. And let's say that the individual, let's say that the individual accepted and embraced the goal on that same date. So October 2nd, 2017. So these two things got done, and on that same day that the step 10 of the deal structure meeting of the deliverables team recruitment process, the advisor introduces at that same meeting, the new subject matter expert to the administrative manager and empowers the administrative manager in that meeting, explains to the subject matter expert that, yes, I've been dealing with you primarily. I've been your primary point of contact up until now, but I'd like to introduce my administrative manager, who is the project leader and team coordinator. So from now on, this individual, Della, our administrative manager, will be your primary point of contact. So let's say that's accomplished on October 2nd, 2017. So the trusted advisor introduces the AM to the subject matter expert. So these things got done. Let's call that week one. That's week one of the subject matter expert's experience working with your team. So the next thing that happens is that you, as the administrative manager, conduct a subject matter expert orientation of the toolkit. This is you one-on-one sitting it down with the new SME as the administrative manager and walking them through the system, the whole system of what, you know, what's going to be expected of them, as at least from you and from your advisor. So let's say that's done on October 4th, 2017. So you do that one-on-one orientation with the subject matter expert, explaining to them what you expect. And you kind of lay the groundwork. You say, look, there's a, for those on the toolkit, there's a video called Getting Started as a New Subject Matter Expert. It's a very thorough video walking through every single thing that the toolkit expects of a subject matter expert. And the companion to that video is the subject matter expert agreement form. So the administrative manager sets that as the goal and says, go do that. But while you're doing that, there's some other things that I need. I need you to sit down, and I need you, in addition to signing the agreement form, I need you to create a process in writing that shows everyone else on our team how you operate. What's your method of operating? We have, and then it's, we, you know, explaining to the subject matter expert the three meeting process and showing on, you know, on explaining to them all about the three meeting process and what each meeting is for. And then what you're asking for in return is for the subject matter expert to create one process for every meeting in the three meeting process. So I need you to document what you will be doing in between all of these meetings. And so we have a method called the best way for documenting processes. So what I'm looking for is the best way processes for all five of the client progress meetings that are due within, and I need those back from you within the first 30 days. So it's a warning at this meeting that needs to happen in the first 30 days. And you just kind of go through the whole checklist with them and say, these are all the things we've got to get done in the next 30 days. Okay. So that's the first week. The next week is, let's call this week two. Let's say they have watched the video and they have submitted the subject matter expert agreement form, which is the companion to that video. So most of the things on this checklist actually are the trusted advisor, but in this case, this is the administrative manager. So this is in week two. Let's say they return that after a week. And so now you have the agreement form. And so now that's done. So the next big thing that we're waiting on is these best way processes. So we've got to kind of wait, because that's going to take a while for them to create all these processes. And there may be a lot of back and forth with your office, understanding what each of these meetings are supposed to be in the big picture and so forth. And that's fine. But while they're doing that, and you've kind of warned them about that, let's hop down to the bottom where you see at the very last section here, while they're working on the processes and they're doing all of that, you're as a part of explaining to them this checklist and everything that's got to be done in the first 30 days, this last section, you're going to explain to them that this is what's called a subject matter expert expectations conversation that is scheduled between each subject matter expert and the trusted advisor once every 4 months. So this occurs 3 times a year. Now, what you explain to them is the first one is going to occur within the first 30 days. So you go ahead and put that on the calendar and you tell them when you kind of alert them to this checklist and everything that's got to be done, that's got to be done before the end of October. So you look at each other's schedules and you schedule the first SME expectations conversation for October 24th. So that now they're off creating processes and doing all of that. But while they've got their calendar out, you say, let's get these on the calendar for the next 12 months. And that's what it means by filling this whole sheet out within the first 30 days. You've got to get all of these expectations conversations on the calendar within the first 30 days. So, So this one's scheduled for the 24th. This one, 4 months later, so we're going to have this every 4 months. Let's say you look at each other's schedules, and the next one's going to be scheduled for February 14th, 2018. And then the next one after that is going to be scheduled for June 13th, 2018. And there you go. So now, while they're working on the processes, what have you done? You've got one-on-one, in essence, expectations conversations or performance reviews where the SME can understand what the trusted advisor expects in greater detail and measure progress. And the SME can also say to the trusted advisor, hey, if that's what you're expecting, then here's what I need. So it's expectations. So none of these have been done yet, so we can't check them off. So I think we've done about as much as we can do. Let's call that week two. So by week two, all this is done. Now we're just waiting. So let's say that you do start getting these processes back and that finally you get all 5 best way processes back. This is something that the administrative manager follows up to make sure to get within the first 30 days. And so let's say you get all these things back by October 23rd. So now you've got all 4 processes, all 5 processes using the best way method. And so now we're starting to focus on it's the 23rd, and on the 24th, there is this meeting. It's the first expectations meeting. So every time your trusted advisor has one of these meetings, they fill out the SME commitment assessment form and the key performance measures form in advance. Okay, so that's done in advance, but it's usually done a day or two or three ahead of time, maybe a week. But regardless, let's say that the most recent SME commitment form is actually done the morning of the first assessment meeting because you don't have a lot to assess at the beginning, but it allows the trusted advisor to say, hey, after 2 or 3 weeks, now I've kind of interacted with this subject matter expert a little bit. I've seen how they interact with my team. They've already started diving into the client's materials, and I've seen a little bit. So I have my initial assessments, and that's what's filled out. So that's SME commitment assessment form. Let's say that's done initially on the 24th, the morning, and then the key performance measures form, same thing. It's done the morning of the first expectations conversation. Yep, I got the wrong date here. There we go. So these have all now been done. And now we're in the meeting. We're in the expectations meeting with the subject matter expert. We go through the in the first meeting, the trusted advisor just simply goes through the key performance measures form with them, gets them oriented, and gets their assessment of where they think they are. But it's after this meeting, it's immediately after this meeting that the trusted advisor is now able to begin thinking about whether or not this individual is capable of contributing to the team goal, which is, again, exceeding client expectations. So there's this little section here that after, either during or after the meeting, the initial SME expectations meeting, this is the initial assessment of the advisor as to how much this new subject matter expert currently, immediately, third week, fourth week on the job, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are they currently contributing to the team goal of exceeding client expectations? Let's say 4 out of 10 at this point. So that discussion with the subject matter expert that the trusted advisor expects every subject matter expert to contribute to the team goal, let's say that got done on October 24th. That's the day of the SME expectations meeting. Is there evidence that this individual is capable of exceeding an ideal client's expectations? Well, let's say in this expectations meeting, let's say the SME shared their own annual referral rate and they show evidence of their clients back at their firm where they are constantly receiving unsolicited referrals from their clients, which is absolutely a sign of exceeding expectations. So let's say, yes, there is evidence at this point. And so that has been completed. We've seen evidence of that. It's either yes or no. And that's completed on October 24th, 2017. So now we've completed everything on the checklist except for these four exercises. These are the four exercises. These are the initial team exercises for improving the client experience. Now, these should be updated, these exercises, with your entire team. So it's your call whether this new subject matter expert going through these four exercises is one-on-one with the trusted advisor or whether there is some kind of a group meeting scheduled to introduce this new subject matter expert to this and to take them through the four exercises and to update the others on the team to get them to keep moving forward. We're trying to improve the client experience over time forever. So, or if you're doing this one-on-one, that's fine. It really is not the point of this. It's just that in the first 30 days, all of this has to be done. So after the first SME expectations conversation, let's say on October 25th, exercise one is completed and exercise two are completed. Those have to do with what are we doing now to exceed our clients' expectations and what can we do to improve our client expectations. So those are the first two exercises. Then let's say on October 30th, the following week, we go through exercises three and four. And exercises three and four have to do with assessing progress and measuring success and this whole thing of making sure that, every team member is contributing to the team goal. So, you know, between October 25th, which is week four, and then week five of the new client, a new subject matter expert, that now represents everything on this checklist. Notice everything is now completed, I believe. Oh, I missed one. So everything is now checked off. Everything on this list was done within the first 30 days. And some of these things, like obviously the subject matter expert expectations conversations, after the one on the 24th is done, then, you know, you replace that and do the one in two. So after June, there needs to be one in 2018. So let's say you schedule that for October 5th of 2018. That hasn't been done, but, you know, you keep using this spreadsheet, and then the key performance measures form is updated every 4 months. There may be a point at any point in the process, your trusted advisor may have to go through all this team goal stuff again to make sure that they embrace the team goal. At least every 4 months, they should reevaluate on a scale of 1 to 10 whether they are contributing to the team goal or not. And to keep looking for confirming that there is evidence that this subject matter expert is capable of exceeding client expectations. So that's it. And then you'll notice when you fill out this form, it is savable. So you just hit File, Save, and save it to your, you know, computer. And this is a form that, yes, you do it in the first 30 days. These are the 17 things. But these are the same 17 things you kind of keep, many of these things you keep going through throughout the relationship with the subject matter expert on your team. So you can keep reusing this. And we also have a spreadsheet of, in essence, these same 17 things. I'll put that on your replay page as well. So some of you are spreadsheet people and you'd rather have one checklist across all of your subject matter experts. So you can do it either way you like. You can use this checklist one at a time so that you've got a single checklist for a single subject matter expert. You can use a spreadsheet. I'll provide both, or you can use both. Some use both. So I'll provide all of these formats for you. So that's it on the onboarding process. And that's it for this this month's monthly advisor session. This is your opportunity for live coaching. And as always, we wish you the best in implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little.